Congregation doing well this morning? The singing sounds good in here, amen? It is a wonderful day that we're here to gather God and worship God in spirit and truth as we're gathered here this this Sunday morning in this wonderful facility that He gives us to gather in. I just want to say happy Mother's Day to all of the mothers. What a wonderful job you guys do. You often make us men look better than we deserve to look. Ashley's like... No, Ashley's like, yeah, he's right. I'm just teasing. No, trust me, Christy makes me look better than I deserve to look all the time. So we want to welcome back Russ and Fran from Florida. It's great to have you guys back here in the sheepfold. And again, as we gather here today, let's worship God in spirit and truth as we bring to you a message to hopefully uplift our mothers here this morning. It'll be from Proverbs chapter 31, and so that's what we're going to start to look at here this morning. We're not going to cover that whole section. There's about 12 really attributes that we see there. I'm going to pick up about five of them, and we're going to talk about those here this morning. Because the mothers and the women are the rock of almost all congregations. They're the rock of the household. And if you know anything about the church and the operations of the church, I don't think, would be able to, congregations wouldn't be able to facilitate all that they do if it wasn't for the great women and the mothers of these congregations. And so we're here today to give praise to God through you. And so as we look at this, you know, how many times... do we get together with our mothers? I took my mother out for lunch yesterday because I knew it was Mother's Day today, and I wasn't going to be able to see her today. And so I took her out yesterday, and I was thinking to myself, I was like, man, I got to do a better job of this, because am I the only one who doesn't do a good enough job about maybe taking her out a little bit more consistently to give thanks for all that she's done for me? And so that's something, I'll tell you, it's one of my shortcomings. I have to get better at it. And I thought to myself, I was like, man, how sad is it, you know what I mean, that, you know, it's been a minute. And so I'm just throwing it out there. If you need to do a better job honoring your mom, the scriptures tell us we're to honor moms and dads, amen? And so, brethren, mothers are so much more than we give them credit for. How many times has your mother been your teacher, your disciplinarian, the gardener in the home, right? Mothers are those nurses and doctors and psychologists. They're kind of like all wrapped up in one, right? They're the counselors and the chauffeurs and they're the coaches. And so, brethren, we see this so often as we look at our godly mothers. And so mothers are developers of personalities, are they not? They're molders of vocabularies. They're shapers of attitudes. And mothers are those soft little voices that say, I love you. You know, typically and mostly, if you hear those words, I love you, it usually first comes from that mother who carried you for 9 months in her womb and has that special bond with you. Mothers are a link to God. You know, it's often been said, and our first impression of God's love often comes through a godly mother. And so, brethren, we see that love. And so we just want to thank all of our mothers here at Lincoln Park and all the women of Lincoln Park. Because even if you're not a mother, how many times do the godly women of this congregation mentor the young nuggets in the congregation, help to raise up those young minds in our congregation? And so you are to be honored as well. And so we say happy Mother's Day and thank you for all that you do. Friends and family, today as we get into today's lesson, we're going to look at five qualities, as I said, from Proverbs chapter 31. If you wanted to open up there, you could. Many of our ladies, as they hear Proverbs 31, I've said this in the past, that sometimes you read Proverbs chapter 31 starting in around verse 10, and sometimes it can kind of be intimidating, right? Because you see all that is written in Proverbs chapter 31 starting in verse 10 going through pretty much the end of that chapter, and it can become intimidating because it's almost like, is this like a litmus test? I mean, is this what I have to live up to? I'm supposed to make sure I check all these boxes? And for some, it's defeating as they try to measure themselves against this woman that we see being spoken of here in this chapter. But what if I told you that the intent of Proverbs 31 is one of celebration and not one of condemnation? It's one of celebration and not one of condemnation. It's a chapter about a woman of valor. It's a chapter about a courageous woman, a woman of strength, and a woman of integrity. You know, in the Jewish culture, these verses are often read aloud each Sabbath as a celebration for their women, as a celebration to the women that they have within their synagogues. And these are not words meant to tell a woman all that she's supposed to be. They're a celebration of who and what many of these women are. So it's a celebration of who they are and what they do. So friends and family, when you find something praiseworthy of your wife and your mother, make sure you give praise where praise is due. It makes me think of the Apostle Paul from Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, where Paul had wrote to the people of Philippi. He says, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. So brethren, we should look to praise the women in our lives. And as we look to praise the women in our lives, always being thankful for their love, always being thankful for their devotion to God, as well as their devotion to their families. I'm trying to adjust this antenna in my pocket here. All right, hopefully that gets a little better. And so, again, we have to make sure we're looking to praise the mothers and the women in our very lives for their love, for their devotion to God, for their devotion to the family. And likewise, children, you ought to be praising your mom. You ought to be praising your grandmother, your aunt, and any godly woman who has an influence in your life. Any woman that is worthy of honor, we should be giving them honor. Not just this day, but all the days of our lives. Because they're just an important aspect of us in our upbringing. When I look at this slide on the screen behind me, we're going to see these are basically the five verses that we're going to look at, five, six things that we're going to look at here this morning. And I want you to see what are some of these qualities. The heart of a husband who trusts in her, right? I want you to focus on trust, right? Because how important and how amazing is it to have a woman in your life, to have a wife and a mother in your life that you could trust, that you could depend on? How crucial is that? You look at that verse 13, and we're going to look at, she works with her hands. How many of our moms and our wives and our mothers work with their hands diligently to provide for their families? And so, you know, if you want to take a screenshot of that, if you want to look at it, I know some of the guys, you usually talk about the sermons the next Sunday morning. Take a look at that, so that way next Sunday morning you'll be able to go over that. But as we look at this here this morning, let's start with the very first one. Proverbs 31 and 11 tells us the heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. Brethren, when we think about Proverbs 31 and verse 11, I wonder how many of us praise our wives, praise our mothers, right? Because of her, that she's a person of trust. She's a person that's trustworthy. Brethren, when you think about this, because we find her as someone that can be dependable, somebody who's trustworthy, we should be looking to heap praise on them on a regular basis. In fact, not only can you trust mom to do all that we know that she does, it's almost like moms have a sixth sense. Wives have a sixth sense. You guys ever hear that term, sixth sense? Brethren, how often have we as men or as children gone up to your mom and you start to tell them what you would like them to do, and then all of a sudden what happens? She waits for you to finish the sentence politely, but then she simply says, "Sweetie, I've already taken care of it," right? Why? Because she's trustworthy, she's dependable, and you know that you could that she's going to do all she can to take care of the family. In essence, Proverbs 31 and 11 is speaking to the fact that the power of a righteous wife, a righteous mother, you know, one who through her trustworthiness, through her dedication to her family, she creates an environment for the relationship between her and her husband to flourish, between her and her children to flourish, and the household will thrive. I think of the next one on our list, and it's Proverbs 31 and verse 13. And it says, she looks for, she seeks out wool, she seeks out flax, and works with her hands in delight. Well, brethren, notice it says wool and flax. If you're like me, I know what wool was, but I was like, what in the world is flax? You know, that's not really a term that we would often use, right, in our modern day vernacular. And so wool and flax are readily available during this time. Both were used to meet the needs of the household, to meet the needs of the people. Wool was used for making of clothing, and flax was used for making of linens. It may be, bed sheets or tablecloths or different things. That's typically what flax is for. And so I had to look that up. I'm not going to lie to you. And so Because these items were readily available in this time period and during that economy, this woman could have just sent one of her household servants. Because if you read Proverbs 31, 10 through 31, she had household servants. She could have sent a servant out, but instead she gave them their task and she went out. And she was the one that picked up the items that needed that she needed in order to craft with her hands, to sew clothing, to put things together and sew the tablecloths or the bed sheets or the linens, however they were used back in times during times of iniquity. And so, brothers and sisters, instead, as we look at this, she shows herself her willingness to work. She shows herself to be one who is willing to work and to make sure that the needs of her family and her husband are provided for. You know, you think about buying these specific items, working to produce clothing. It's not an easy task. You know, I think of my wife right now. Thanks to Diane and Karen and maybe a few others, right? They got my wife down this road. She has this new hobby. It's called sewing, right? It's a time-consuming, expensive hobby, right? And so, you know, like, I don't really see my wife anymore. Like, you know, she'll have, like, you know, she's up in the loft doing her sewing and making bags and all these different things. She's found this new hobby, but she loves it, right? But my mom absolutely adored the homemade gift that she received that Christy made for her. She goes, it was so much nicer and better than anything she could have received from the store. And so she absolutely loved it. But I think about how, you know what I mean, you go back to this time where she went out to buy the wool, to buy the flax, to take the time, hours it would have taken, especially by hand, sewing the clothes and stitching everything that would have needed to have been stitched. And so that it shows that she wasn't lazy. She was diligent, and she was unafraid to work with her hands, just like so many of our women are today. Brothers and sisters, when we think about this information this morning, rather than leaving her family with worn-out clothes, rather than leaving her family with worn-out linens, she was willing to spend the time and the resources and the energy to make sure that her family had everything that it needed. In terms of what that looks like today, it would be like, you know, well, you go in there, you open up the pantry door, say, huh. You go to the refrigerator, you open up the refrigerator doors. Huh. There's not a whole lot in there, right? Mom happens to always know what the household needs, and she's already got it planned. She's already made the list, and half the time she's already on the way to the store to pick up the items that the house needs, right? So she can make the supper, so she can do the various things that she knows the family's going to need. It's like no different than when she goes to Meijer or goes to Target or Walmart or whatever your store of choice is to pick up the various items knowing what the household needs. So brethren, again, it's kind of like that sixth sense, right? Us guys are so lucky, us kids are so lucky that mom knows exactly what we need, when we need it, and how we need it. And she always makes sure to have it prepared for us. Brother, we need to praise the godly women, the godly mothers and wives in our lives for her due diligence. You know, friends and family, when we look at this, when's the last time that we thanked our wives? When's the last time, children, we thanked our mothers for all that they provide and all that they do? When was the last time you thanked them because the refrigerator was full? When was the last time you thanked them because you didn't have to wear holy socks to school? When was the last time you thanked them because you didn't have to wear the pair of ripped jeans? Maybe they mended it if your wife is starting to learn how to sew, or maybe she just already went out and had you a new pair in the closet, right? I can't tell you how many times my wife has taken care of me more than I deserve in various areas, and I'm sure I'm not the only one in this auditorium. So brothers and sisters, your mothers and your wives, we need to make sure that we're thanking them for all the meals that they cook, for their careers and the jobs that many of our families have dual income households. And we think about this, husbands, we're not the only ones working, right? Not only are they working outside the home, many of them to provide, but they're also working diligently and hardly inside the home. And so we need to make sure that that's never lost on us and that we're doing our part, and as well as making sure that we're praising them and thanking them for the wonderful women that they are. I think of Proverbs 31 and verse 27 where it says, she does not eat the bread of idleness. Brethren, the scriptures talk a lot about laziness.
it talks a lot about how, you know, in Proverbs 31 and verse 27, it's letting us know she's not just sitting around watching, you know, streaming TV shows all day long. She's doing what she needs to do to care for her family. And so, guys, verse 27 reminds us that we're not the only ones working in the home, amen? In fact, I would say, without any reservation, it's usually the ladies that hold the family together. I would say, without any reservation, it's usually many times ladies that help hold the congregation together. And if you've been in a congregation, a part of the family for any length of time, you understand this. How many times they cover up for our iniquities. So we need to praise the hardworking women who go the extra mile for God, who go the extra mile for their family, who go the extra mile for their congregation. You know, Proverbs 31 and 15, it says, she rises also while it is still nights. Proverbs 31 and 27 says, she looks well to the ways of her household. Brothers and sisters, that tells us that she cares greatly for her family. Amen? I mean, think about it. How thankful you should be when the wife who gets up in the middle of the night, excuse me, for the crying child. It may be a sickness. It may just be a nightmare. It might be a bad dream. And they're up because their ears are tuned to what? To the plight and the cries of their children. And you might not even find out about it, men, until we wake up in the morning. Oh, that happened last night. I didn't know that. And so again, and I see a couple of mothers laughing in the room. So we know that this actually happens, right? And so unless you lived like in a long time ago, like when Aiden was born, Aiden's back there, yeah. And so when Aiden was a kid, he didn't want to sleep through the night for like 3 years. I hope yours sleeps through the night, you know, a little bit sooner than that. But he didn't want to sleep through the night for like 3 years. And so both me and Christy both worked full time. And I see Julie looking over there. So it may be a similar story over here. But again, you know, when you both are working full time and it's your turn, we were rotating. Who got up with the child in the middle of the night to take care of them? So that way we could both try to get some sleep. When you got a little tiny house, right? And they're crying in this room. And even though it's not your night, you're still sitting there just listening to it, right? We didn't sleep and we were so dog tired. But how thankful we have to be, right? When our mothers, our women are attuned to their children and to the needs of the family. Brethren, I'm talking about these nights to where, you know, it seems like they can be up all night and they don't wake us up. They just take care of what needs to be taken care of. I think about Proverbs 31 and 26, the fourth point. The teaching of kindness is on her tongue. How blessed we are if mom can control her tongue. Right? How blessed you are if mom is not a person who's continuously complaining and nagging and yelling and screaming and accusing. Brethren, we need to make sure that when we have women in our lives, mothers and wives, who have kindness on their tongue, brethren, they make us look good. And they're also teachers, because oftentimes when your mother or your father always has something good to say, that typically tends to rub off on an individual. And so you usually grow up to be somebody who also has a kind tongue. And brethren, I can't really think of anything that's better than being around somebody who has nothing but good things to say all the time. Have you ever been around somebody who's just happy all the time? They're kind, they're compassionate, they're forgiving, they're loving. I mean, who doesn't like being around those people, right? I mean, it's just miserable. No, it's only miserable if you're the opposite and you're upset because you're like, why can't I be this way, right? So we need to consider those facts. Brethren, how wonderful it is to be around somebody who's kind all the time. I think of my church parents, Chuck and Diane. And if you guys don't know that, I always call them my church parents, right? Me and Christy call them that. And every time I'm around them, right, I could, you know, be in not the best mindset. I could not be, you know, maybe thinking the right way. And every time, Chuck and Diane, they always have the right thing to say. All the time. And it's like, it just amazes me. I know she's like, you know, rolling her eyes, but it's the truth, right? And so I'm picking on you right now because it's the truth. She always has, no matter what's going on, she'll always find the silver lining. And if anybody's known Diane for any length of time, that's just the way she is. That's the person she is. And I'm not saying she's the only woman in here like that, but I have a lot of interaction with Chuck and Diane, and that's who she is to me. And so we often call her our church parents. But again, she always has something special, something kind to say, no matter the situation, no matter what's going on. And so, brethren, let's make sure that we're praising people who always have kindness on their tongue. And lastly, we'll get to the last one, Proverbs 31 and 30. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Brethren, I love this verse because this verse highlights that true praise should be given to a woman's character. True praise should be given to a woman's character and her relationship with God, and not because of charm and beauty, which are oftentimes fleeting. What you see here is not what it looked like 25 years ago. I'm just saying, right? It's just the truth. You know, go back and look at the pictures of when you were in your 20s, and then go back and look at the pictures now that I'm 49, right? Doesn't quite look the same. And so, again, you know, that's something to think about. Beauty, charm, it's fleeting. And so as we think about this here this morning, we need to make sure that we're praising the women in our lives that have character, that have integrity, that fear the Lord. Because what does it mean to fear the Lord? Brethren, to fear the Lord is to make sure that we're living our lives in dedication to God and trusting in His promises and being obedient to the will, to His will. And so it highlights the importance, this verse. It highlights the importance of fearing the Lord as the foundation for a life of righteousness, for a life of kindness, for a life of integrity. And so if your wife or your mom, if they fear the Lord, brethren, we need to make sure that we're not only loving them, but praising them for their dedication to helping to build a godly home, a Christian home, a home that's going to be so much different than what the world projects. And it's going to be a home that people are going to come into and they're going to feel welcomed, and there's going to be hospitality, there's going to be love, and there's going to be acceptance, no matter where you come from, no matter what your background is. And so, brethren, how many of our women have homes and fostered homes in that type of that mindset, where they're having Bible studies, they're inviting people in, and they're showing them their good Christian conduct? Brethren, we should praise our wives and our mothers when they create that type of environment. Brethren, when we think about fearing the Lord, it refers to our reverent respect for God. It speaks to our obedience to God. It recognizes God's power and His authority, not only over our lives, but over our homes and over our world. And so we need to make sure that we never forget this. As I close this lesson down, again, if your wife or your mom fear the Lord, we need to make sure not only are we always expressing our love for them, but we need to praise them for their dedication to doing God's will, understanding God's will for their very lives, and making sure that they're fulfilling that in the raising of their children and the building up and providing of their home. And so, brethren, at the end of the day, we always need to remember that, you know, our wives, our mothers, right? While not perfect by no stretch of the imagination, us men are not perfect by no stretch of the imagination, that we're always striving to do God's will, striving to be to live out our Christian example as Jesus lived in His earthly ministry. And so, brethren, let us always make sure we're praising our women, praising our mothers. And if your mother has already passed on from this life, sometimes these days can be sad. But we remember all of the life lessons that they taught us. We remember all of the great memories, the funny stories, and everything that she's always done for you. And you reflect on that this day, and you allow it to put a smile on your face. It may put a tear in your eye, but make sure the smile is more bigger than the tears. Why? Because she was a wonderful woman. And if you're tearing up and you're smiling because of the thoughts and the memories, brethren, make sure you honor her memory this day. And so if you're here today and you're hearing this, it's a message that's not your typical gospel message, but it's a message to let us know that we're regularly, consistently praising the women in our lives, especially those who set a godly example. If you're hearing this message today and you are visiting but you're not a child of God, maybe you've been studying the scriptures with somebody, maybe you wish to be baptized for the remission of your sins, if that is your desire here this morning, come forward as we stand and sing.